Okay, today is the 26th, and we're doing security and nonsense. I have to get it out now before I forget.
Don't bother giving the month.
It's June of 2020, the worst year.
Every now and then we get a comment on a years old video and they're like, "Why didn't you talk about this thing that happened this week?" And it's like, how drunk are you?
I do notice that, obviously I'm subscribed to our channel. If you haven't, you should. But it'll pull up like years old news videos and just put them in my feed, and it's like, "Hey, do you want to watch this?" And it's like, "This happened ages ago."
Hey,
No.
let's not argue about that. Remember when we couldn't get anywhere near anybody's feed?
Yeah, it's true.
We have had some reports of feed suppression, what were their topics of coverage and the demonetization and whatnot.
You know what? We're on the right side of history.
I think we are.
We're going to be destroyed. But still, I think that's still the right side. It's the losing side, but sometimes the losing side is the right side. And this is a story that's kind of like that, right? I mean, this turned out for the best, I guess you could say, but it should be a cautionary tale. Yes, it's good that we found out what happened to these children, but it's terrifying how we found out what happened to these children. Also, this was very hard to follow. Did you find
Yes.
it? Because of the names? Like, I
Yes.
didn't associate the names with real people, so it's like, but it's like a Shakespearean tragedy. Everybody's dead. And it didn't tell us how exactly everybody died. It's just like, everybody's dead at the end of all this tragedy.
Cell phone pings from Lori Vallow's late brother led investigators to the bodies of her children. Apparently, they owned a lot of land, but they were able to pinpoint to within a close enough location they found where the children were buried. But they also said it was buried in the pet cemetery, which I don't know why a cadaver dog wouldn't do it, but they're thanking technology for
Well,
this.
because they wouldn't expect the brother's property.
When they get the cadaver dogs out, they go over everything. Maybe
But no,
this.
I don't think they were even at his, like, he was not on the radar
Yeah.
until they put together. And he had texted his wife or girlfriend or something, and it was like, "Boy, have I had a tough morning. Found a dead raccoon this morning."
I had to go bury it in this pet cemetery.
Which is pretty smart in terms of, hiding bodies. I would think that's a pretty smart thing to do.
The prosecutor flagged that was weird even before they had the cell phone ping, though.
So they figured out, not only did this woman show up at this house at like 3 a.m. at one point, but there were these weird timelines where they spent a whole lot of time in the yard with their phone in their pocket. And Krista, I think you had it right earlier. If you're going to start killing, just get rid of your phone. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on airplane mode or something. I don't
This
know.
is a crazy story. Like the part about the zombies.
Yeah, like the text messages were talking about and it's like they referred to the one of the kids as a zombie, and it's like, does that signal that he'd already planned to kill them or whatever?
Well, he needed to destroy the zombies because that was his mission in the world, and somehow these kids were zombies. Maybe, they spent too much time looking at their phones.
Or watching the Level One News.
That'll get you killed.
Are you implying that we think that people are zombies? I don't.
You never know, Krista. This is what you were talking about earlier. And so every week we talk about data breaches. And breach is not even a word here because this is the old, you didn't secure the database. Now, when you don't secure the database, it's a question of, you're stupid. You've made it terrible. You're bad at your job. You should not be doing the job that you're doing. But then there's an extra layer of mitigating factor, which is how much information do you have? And in this case, oh boy, it's a lot.
Oracle's Blue Kai tracks you across the web. That data has spilled online, billions of records exposed. Adobe's next, mark my words. So, what is really interesting here? Like, Blue Kai is like an analytics service, but it's like the black hat, no morals analytics service. Google is like, let's try to keep it anonymous and all that kind of stuff. And Oracle's like, no, let's de-anonymize it as much as possible. The thing that's going to be really interesting from this is technically under US law and European law, the companies that were affected by using this service need to disclose. Are they? I think that they're not going to.
But it's so the most hilarious thing about this article is at the bottom, they kind of sheepishly say it's like, "Verizon is a Blue Kai customer. So, yes, TechCrunch is doing exactly what we've described."
Yeah. Marketing people don't realize that you literally don't need to track people at this level. It's crazy. Amazon, ESPN, Forbes, Glassdoor, Healthline, Levi's, MSN.com, Rotten Tomatoes, and the New York Times. There are, the like, that's just not even the tip of the iceberg. So many people use this service. It's crazy.
And the amount of stuff they know about you, because this is, you know, big data, it's not a, you know, 50-column table here. We're talking about as much as they can possibly get, joined with as much as they can buy, these massive, massive details about your life. And anonymization is, how do you anonymize that? It's so distinct.
The reason that you use BlueKai is because they have so many customers, like all of the Fortune 500, I mean, not really, but a huge number of companies in the Fortune 500 and all of the largest web properties, they track across all of that. So your traffic on one website is the same as your traffic on another website is the same as your traffic on another website. If you didn't like what they were doing with Cambridge Analytica, that is their business model.
And they didn't secure the databases. I mean, wow. It's amazing that on one hand, it is technologically impressive how they correlate this data. I mean, we got to admit it. It's terrible. It's evil. But it's impressive that they build these profiles. And in a lot of cases, they do a really, really, really amazing job figuring out what you want to buy and selling it to you. And if they didn't, if they weren't good at that, they wouldn't be as powerful as they are. But at the same time, they can't get the basics.
They don't even really need to do this anymore. It's too much liability to do this.
We'll see how much it is. I think they'd get away with this.
I mean, there's a YouTube channel that talks about the mechanical safeties and like the mechanical interlocks of like a nuclear weapon. It was like, we're building a nuclear weapon. The nuclear weapon could accidentally go off at any time. How do we make sure that it doesn't accidentally go off at any time? And so like there's these brilliant people that came up with these machines that make it physically impossible when the thing is disarmed that even if it's knocked around or whatever, it's not going to go off accidentally. We don't have that for technology. No one has designed that yet for technology.
I don't see. I really do not think they will suffer much from this.
No, not at all.
Because for the very reason of all those names you read.
Yeah, they're just going to make it go away.
Talk about powerful friends.
Yeah.
Everybody uses you. Nobody wants to give you up.
Depending on what data was leaked, was actually leaked, and what's actually out there on the dark web, this could be a bigger deal than the Equifax thing.
Well, we all know that Equifax finally got their just desserts.
And the people were all compensated fairly.
Exactly. Excellent point. Well, Australia. They've so far they've been spared the riots, I think. But they did have the extra fire early on this year. So 2020's been rough for them already, just like it has everybody else. And now, a new tragedy.
Australia says it has been targeted by a sophisticated state-based cyber attack. Somebody sent them an email attachment that had a virus in it.
Several of those. Now they point to a prolonged campaign of various different ways of trying to get in. They're not giving a lot of details. They did say spear phishing was part of it after the other thing failed. And it's interesting because every step along the way, people, it's like the press are raising their hands like, was this China? And Australia's like, we can't say who it was exactly. But it kind of seems like maybe one country overall should be suspected. And everybody was like, China, right? And they're like, we can't say exactly. Yeah, it was China.
So
that's me saying that. Now, we all know that, Jesus Christ. Again, I'll go back to Rockstar Social Club. I am so tired of clicking on tiles with traffic lights in them. Oh my God. And it's because you keep crashing and I have to keep doing it over and over. But CAPTCHAs, you know, they're necessary evil because they do keep the robots out. But what about when the bad guys use them?
To evade detection, hackers are requiring targets to complete CAPTCHAs. And you think, wait, what? So this is actually pretty brilliant. Google scans URLs for malware. It's like you go and you got the drive-by download thing, and you click on something and it's not what you thought it was, and it turns out it's malware. Well, a great way to evade having Google delist your URL because your website contains nothing but malware is to have a CAPTCHA on the malware. So it's like you Google MacBook Pro 9.2 EFI audio driver, and you look for that, and then all of the Google results, all of them, are malware. And you go there, and it's like, I'm going to download the driver for my sound card. And you click on it, it's like, okay, I have to complete a CAPTCHA. Maybe. I mean, that seems reasonable to prevent somebody from scraping your site. No, it contains malware. The CAPTCHA prevents Google from scanning the URL.
They also pointed out that they had measures to try and figure out when they were on an enterprise network versus a home network. And the enterprise version just wouldn't do anything because they know that there's a team there that would help detect. Very impressive. This is a story, again, which is just week after week. And again, going back to their, you know, own spying and stuff like that, you cannot trust extensions. You must install extensions with extreme paranoia. And even then, it might not be enough.
Massive spying on users of Google's Chrome shows new security weaknesses. What are they talking about? Well, there's a bunch of different Google Chrome extensions that have like 32 million downloads total. Most of the extensions that they went through are extensions that are designed that say that they're to filter malicious URLs or filter malicious emails, or they're security extensions. But actually, the security extensions are very bad for your privacy. Very, very bad.
Yeah, it really... it's a minefield. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's terrible. You just got to stay away from it. You got to stay in the Stone Age to avoid all the horror. And denial of service, it's been a while since we've seen a good headline for denial of service. Seems like maybe during the lockdown,
yeah,
you'd expect those people to be more active, but I guess it's harder to get targets. I don't know, something like that. Maybe they're just actual human beings and they don't want to disrupt people while they're trapped at home. Probably not the case. But according to Amazon, we do have a new high watermark when it comes to the actual bandwidth that these things can put together.
Amazon said it mitigated a 2.3 terabit DDoS attack, the largest ever. The previous record for largest DDoS was 1.7 terabit. However, Amazon said, yeah, bring it.
Yeah, apparently this did not disrupt that much.
Whoa. Which is surprising, considering just a minor DNS issue will disrupt Amazon.
Krista, what was that?
I bumped my ring against the table. Also, I read that headline as tablespoons.
Tablespoons per second.
That's impressive.
Somebody's just dumping tablespoons of oatmeal on a central router.
Well, that's another question. Is this a wet or a dry ingredient? So this was CLDAP web servers, I guess. And yeah, I wonder, like, is that botnet just still out there? Are those things still active?
Yeah, yeah. This, and it's about to get a whole lot worse when we talk about the Internet of Things exploits that have been found.
So yeah, that's now when you point that gun at Amazon, maybe it doesn't make a difference, but it'll be a different story against somebody else.
If you point that gun at your local kennel, they're going to be like, "Make it stop, please, make it stop."
Well, they're not going to say anything because they're going to just be deaf.
You know, if you're using a pay as you go service like EC2. And they use a service like that, they can actually run up the bill thousands of dollars before a circuit breaker would, you know, that's a way to accidentally cost deliberately cost a business a bunch of money.
Way to give them an idea.
Man, if only they could get even more devices to participate in their Internet of Things botnet. Oh, wait.
So a lot of times we talk about libraries that have been made vulnerable. And, you know, it's usually like something that's been slipped into a package manager. And people blindly use these libraries when they build their own software. And they don't really think about it. It's like, well, what if this is compromised? And it's a terrible
or poorly designed.
It's just a terrible, it's a waterfall of badness that keeps going. And you might not even, I mean, do you sign up for the newsletter on every library that you use in your software? You probably should, but then you're going to drown in, yeah, you know, all that information. But what if instead of going back years, it went back decades and it was the most fundamental part of every Internet of Things item that you build?
Ripple 20 vulnerabilities will haunt the IoT landscape for years to come. Security researchers disclosed 19 vulnerabilities impacting a TCP library found at the base of many Internet of Things products. This thing is so old, it goes back to the 90s. And it was originally, I think, a Japanese company, but then that Japanese company split into another company. And so these two companies basically both took the same code base, and they've added onto it since then. But in the decades that have intervened, apparently not one security analyst has looked at it ever.
So I got these scores. Oh, that's extreme.
There's a video of the researchers were like, we're not going to say what UPS this was. It was a CyberPower UPS, it looks like. And printers, and they're just all vulnerable. And it's a bad, bad situation. So you've got some HP network printers, bad times. You got your UPSs connected to the network, bad times. It's bad times all around.
And it's one of those situations where they can patch this, but getting, like, not everybody is going to realize that their item that they sold requires this patch, because this is such a fundamental,
yeah,
like, building block. And it's like, oh, who even knew that we used that, you know, the engineers.
The video suggested that the UPS was shut down permanently. Like, once they did the thing to the UPS, it was not coming back. It's bricked.
Bad times. That's going to be huge for the economy, because we've got to rebuy all that stuff.
But there's no one in the factories making that stuff.
That's beside the point. This is bullish. Intel, you know, Intel, they got a lot of bad headlines about their security.
Yeah, Spectre and Meltdown. And
just week after week.
Software always, guard extensions bypassed.
Always something new for Intel. And you got to think maybe that every time they get a little bit of a win, they're calling up. It's like, run the story. Tell everybody that we're doing something. Really? No, we're going to stop it.
Intel will soon bake anti-malware defenses directly into its CPUs. Control flow enforcement technology will debut in Tiger Lake microarchitecture. So this article does actually talk about the past vulnerabilities and how this hardware implementation is a little different approach than, say, Software Guard Extensions, SGX, which has been thoroughly broken and does not offer any security whatsoever at this point. Literally zero.
Although they did have one security expert say that he already had some ideas on how he could break this. So
nice.
We'll see. See if all that R&D was worth it. Now, obviously, the BlueKai thing, that is a... it's a leak that you got... I mean, what are the odds that you're not in it, right?
Basically zero.
It's everybody. It doesn't matter even where you signed up for stuff. You know, I mean, they'll build profiles on you without an account. And that's bad because of the scope of it. But sometimes a leak of a much smaller scope, and again, this is a leak where it's just a bad configuration, an open database. But in this case, it could be way more embarrassing because of the nature of the thing.
Dating app exposes 845 gigabytes of explicit photos, chats, and more. There's 9 sites. They name the sites. I'm not going to read you the names.
Well, I mean, some of them. Some of them really embarrassing.
Herpes dating.
Yeah.
You know, this is so bad that I bet if you go to work for the government, they're going to be like, are you on one of these lists? Or should we check your name on one of these lists? Because you can be blackmailed.
Are you a gay daddy bear? So, yeah, these were niche dating apps. So most of them make sense, right? So, Cougary, I have an idea of what Cougary does. Threesomes, pretty self-explanatory. Gay Daddy Bear. Okay. Yeah. What do you think X-Pal was?
Like maybe you're a pen pal, but you write like Civil War letters, but they're explicit.
Oh, that's a good guess. Casual X. Okay. I get it. Sugar D.
My dearest random person on the internet.
Yeah. And of course, Herpes Darling. Obvious.
Most of these, like, I, you know, whatever, but like the herpes ones are distressing. It's like, is that a thing? I guess, like,
well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you're already infected.
Although there's different strains, so you could be infected by more than one strain.
Well, you know, so will they. So,
have you ever had a cold and the flu at the same time? It's not a fun experience.
Well, you know, I'm sure nothing about herpes is fun, but what I mean, it's better than the alternative, right?
Yeah.
Okay, G-Hunt. Krista, what's G-Hunt?
Gary's Mod, Prop Hunt. People who really like to play Prop Hunt in Gary's Mod.
I don't think this is actually the case, but I really hope that it is. It's gay dudes that actually like to hunt, and they just combine the two.
Oh, I also like that. Yeah. There's a joke about like dating sites where it's like, what's up with all the dudes just hanging around with like their fish and their guns? Maybe it's for them.
What is that? What I don't understand. Is that a thing on gay sites?
Not on gay sites particularly, but just like dating sites. So like, apparently it's common in like smaller rural communities where it's like you're looking for a dude and it's like every one of them is just a guy holding up a fish.
That would be convenient if you love to hunt, right? Because, well, you could take a girl hunting with you, I guess, but it's probably a lot easier to find guys who are into that.
I guess.
Well, Krista, did you pour something out? Did you pour out some Limbus bread for your fallen hero?
No, I didn't. I was sad to see this, though.
Well, I put this in here, obviously, because of you.
Yeah, it's bait. Ian Holm, Bilbo Baggins, and Lord of the Rings, and A.R. dead at 88. It's sad. It's one of those things, like, you know, he's getting older, and, like, we're starting to lose, like, I think Christopher Lee passed away, was it last year?
Yeah.
Just, still sad to see.
Why is there a video of a guy getting hit by a truck on this video? What does that have to do with him?
That's the New York Post for you.
And I pointed out that he was a stage actor, mostly.
Yeah.
And he'd been in some other stuff.
It shows. Stage actors have a certain way about them. It's interesting.
I thought he did a fine job as Bilbo. Krista, I mean, you're the critic here. What do you think that... Would you have cast anybody else?
No, I really liked him as older Bilbo. I loved... the Hobbit movies were terrible, but I did really like... what's his face? His younger Bilbo. The Sherlock star. I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was completely unconvinced that that would actually work, and holy crap, he pulled it off.
He gets a lot of Bilbo's, like, weird tics down really well, and... That was like picture perfect casting, but the script was not there. It's a bummer. But yeah, I liked Ian Holm. Anyway, unrelated. I liked both of their performances. He also played Frodo in a BBC radio play back in like the 80s, I think.
Well, how many times have you listened to that?
I've never listened to it. I'm thinking about listening to it with now. You.
People are going to email it to you now.
Yeah, I was trying to find a copy of it online.
I have the Leonard Nimoy Bilbo Baggins, the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins. Have you seen that?
I have seen that.
Was that the cartoon?
No. It's the one that has like 60s go-go dancers and Leonard Nimoy.
And he's talking about Bilbo.
I thought they protected that intellectual property.
There's a little hobbit who we all admire. Yeah. It's a bizarre little clip.
Well, speaking of film... I think we've actually discussed this once before, and it was revealed that neither of you have seen The King of Kong.
We have. I haven't. Still haven't.
No, I've not seen it. Yeah.
Wow. What a fine piece of film that you really should check out. And the villain in that documentary was one Billy Mitchell. And they like the way they cut that thing, they really made him the villain. He was a fantastic villain. But ever since that time, he's been fighting against the accusations therein, and the fight continues to this day.
Guinness has reinstated Billy Mitchell's Donkey Kong and Pac-Man records updated. Oh, what was it updated with?
So the update, they were just basically saying that you could stuff an emulator into a cabinet. And they originally in the story, they made it sound like you couldn't do that.
Okay.
But the story, so ultimately what's being said here is that he claims he broke records. Twin Galaxies, who are kind of the record source for these kinds of things, said no, he used an emulator. But they can't prove that he used an emulator.
Mm.
And so Guinness is saying that, well, if you can't prove he cheated and he was already the world record holder, can we really keep this record away from him? And the answer they came up with was no.
Neat.
Check out that movie.
What we should do is build some sort of robot to play this on an original stock cabinet, and the robot, you know, can play at a superhuman level, and if the robot playing at superhuman level is not able to at least match his performance, then we can empirically prove that there's something wrong with the cabinet or something. Or it was cheating.
Well,
this Mitchell guy really loves America. He's got a USA pocket square and a USA tie.
Well, see, that's the thing about it. Like, he was such a great villain because all these people obviously are, you know, a little, you know, on the spectrum. But his whole character is so over the top like that. he really is that guy, or seems to be. Well, you know, we've all wondered, where are the aliens, right?
It's the season 3 event, right?
We could really use some help right now. With a number of different things.
Well, wouldn't that be great if, you know, a saucer like touched down in the DC mall and they all came out and they were wearing face masks? They just throw some syringes down and get out.
We're the intergalactic Australia, where everything on our planet is out to kill them.
But statistically, it stands to reason we should have seen something by now, right? Is there something out there? And a lot of people do some crazy, you know, estimations of work on this kind of thing. And this is one of those, like, how do you come up with this?
So specific. Scientists say the most likely number of contactable alien civilizations in our galaxy is 36. I think they were off by 8.
You think it should be 42? It
should be 42.
Well, I was about to make the same joke.
Or 6. I guess that's 6, right? 42? I can't even do math.
Yeah.
6.
So...
Three adults can't add numbers.
It goes on to say why. And, the arguments are loose at best. But at every step of the way, even this article points out, you can't prove this. Because the thing about it is, we haven't found one. Why are you trying to figure out the max number when there is none?
Well,
I'd like to point out too that if you look over here on the left sidebar, there's a whole alien life category on The Guardian. And it lists all articles about aliens.
We don't have a left sidebar, Krista. Oh, I see. Oh, that's actually that's ad blocked on our end.
What about, okay, so no contactable alien life, but what about microbial alien life? What if there is remnants of microbial life on Mars? I think that's probably true.
If we can't zoom with it, it doesn't count.
Well, I mean, I think that would be a big deal. I think the Viking landers, the experiments that were on the Viking landers in the 70s proved that there is still remnants of some kind of microbial life on Mars. And I think that would be a big deal.
Yeah, but it's not exciting because... it can't help us with technology. We can't trade with it. I think at best, it gives us a terrible, terrible disease.
Well, in the alien life category on The Guardian, there's another headline that's alien abduction, an unlikely solution to the climate crisis. An Oxford lecturer claims that a secret breeding program to create alien-human hybrids will save humanity from environmental disaster.
You know what movie I just watched that was the plot of? Is the 2018 Predator movie.
Huh.
It was terrible.
I don't like how that one ended.
So, going into space seems really cool, right? I mean, how fantastic. People really, they work really hard, some of our best and our brightest, and they go through a lot to get up onto that space station. But you don't think about the little day-to-day realities of space life, and this picture really makes you rethink what it might be like up there in that little tube.
The International Space Station is getting a new toilet this year, and then you look at it and it's like, is he holding the toilet? Because that seems more like a colonoscopy than a toilet.
I imagine. Do you not imagine that one of those is number one and one of those is number two?
Seems like it, yeah.
And no matter which one is number two, it seems unpleasant.
I'm not going into space until we've got some sort of centrifugal toilet where you get in a ring and it spins around and you've got artificial gravity so that...
it splatters?
You've come out of it, you've got like... your inner ear is just like you're just spinning in a circle. It'd still be better than that.
Right? Yeah, definitely would.
So anyway, the new version is supposedly an improvement over what they've been using by quite a bit. Now, they also talk about, what is it you always say, Krista, when you go camping? About how you bring your poop back with you?
Oh, you pack it out. You don't bring the poop back out with you.
Nah, but
you do in some places, but not here.
There's a catchphrase that you always say. About, like, leave nothing behind or something.
Oh, leave no trace.
Yeah, leave no trace. So right now, we have a leave no trace policy in space. But they talk about how if we go to Mars, that's a lot of poop. And so We have to rethink that, maybe.
I think it should be like Avenue Q. We should use the poop as some sort of radiation shield.
Yeah, but you still got to store it.
Can you compost it, I wonder? You wouldn't be able to put it on, like, anything you ate, but you could use it for other plants.
Well, they talk about, like, reclaiming the water and stuff out of it, but you still end up with a lot of just mass.
Yeah.
That, for a 2 or 3 year mission, it's going to be too much. So what do you do?
I don't know.
Oh, is this the last story? No. Okay. Wow.
No.
We've got, like, wow. We're not even close to the last story. Oh, okay.
we're now barely touching into nonsense.
Got to step this up.
So, yeah. We're in this crazy new world where the things you say can be very detrimental to your life and your freedom. And it's crazy. And no more better example than this, where this was actually a crime.
A Scottish man has been fined for calling an Irish man a leprechaun. Terry Myers, 41, appeared in Aberdeen Sheriff Court after he sent his ex-partner an email which made reference to the woman's new partner as being Irish.
We call him a leprechaun. I don't know that that's what he got fined for, because apparently there were also threats of assault.
Well, the threat, I think, is what got it into court. But they did tack on... it's like a hate crime or something like that, a racial crime. And that added to it.
Oh, yeah, racially aggregated harassment.
Aggravated. Yeah. So that definitely contributed to the amount. Now, a question of, if he had not made the threats, would this have made it into court? I don't know, but you can't ignore the fact that the word leprechaun was added as a criminal charge.
I feel bad as a human being, because I don't think that I'll ever not laugh at the Swedish chef from Sesame Street.
Well, you know,
it's just so funny, and it's like, I feel like a terrible human being.
It's also weird that, you know, it's an insult against a white person, because usually those are fine. But, you know, we got a lot of comments last week. I don't know where this, if this was... I think this might not have been in Ireland, but the guy was Irish. But this is Irish Central, and we did a story last week that was like Irish website.
Oh yeah, but it was in the UK.
Furious about
Sorry
that.
About that.
So there's a lot of animosity between the English and the Irish. There's a little history there.
How do they feel about the Swedish chef?
Well, that's the thing.
Well, people from England, they probably don't really care, right? Like, you'd be Swedes, you'd be offending with that.
Has Sweden ever occupied another country and absorbed it?
I thought all of the Nordic countries, like, kind of fought over territory pretty often.
Well, if we go back to the Viking days.
Yeah.
There's that island that changes hands every year.
Yeah. I don't know if Sweden has an enemy like that. Maybe they do. Engagement challenge.
What's the mortal enemy of the Swedish?
If you're Swedish.
Do we have a common enemy?
Now, this article, I kind of wonder if the police are feeling the heat and trying to do everything they can to create levity, but also make people afraid. It's like, no, you need us. No, really, you really need us. Look at what could happen.
Meth gators?
Oh, this happened earlier.
Oh, no.
I think it's okay, though. It'll go through its crisis.
The Tennessee police are warning stuff.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, look at that. Don't sand. The Tennessee police are warning not to flush meth because we could have meth gators. I was not aware that Tennessee had gators.
Well,
there's some here too.
Yeah, they're like, you know, if it washes all the way down to the specific place where the gators are.
Oh.
Oh, well, I mean, there's releases. They're not native to this area, but.
So they talked to a biologist who specializes in, or a zoologist who specializes in gators. And he said that it was highly unlikely that a gator could get high on meth. And even if it did...
It probably wouldn't be aggressive.
Yeah, it wouldn't be violent. It would probably just be freaked out. And it would definitely not want to be around people if it were high on meth. This is just the usual nonsense. And the cops are saying, hey, if you want to dispose of your meth, bring it to us. yes, they will put you in jail if you do that. That's a lie.
I wonder why people don't trust...
Especially people on meth.
I'm trying to turn my life around. I've decided that I'm gonna, and then
you will go right to jail. They probably will throw you to the ground. You know, it's like you come in peacefully and you're like, all right, here is the meth. I'm going to turn things around. And then boom, right on the ground. This one, India, this was somewhere in India. Now, these Indian stories, they have all these, you know, the names of the places. I can't. Do you have a...
No. And yeah. I wonder if this is like, you know, the Indian equivalent of like the Sun, you know, which maybe doesn't have the best reputation in the UK. Like if this is just
National Herald India. Now, they did make it sound like this was kind of a, you know, not a something that happened often. And it was such a big deal that the doctor was like, I can't do this anymore for a little while. They said he kind of like stopped working for a while, which makes sense because this is insane.
A patient has died. A patient that had the thing that we can't talk about because of fear of the thing has died after the family unplugged their ventilator to turn on a cooler, an air conditioner, I guess. They had a portable air conditioner or something because the hospital room was sweltering.
Right.
So they accidentally unplugged the ventilator, and then they died.
Now, you're probably thinking, well, how do you not know? As soon as you unplug that ventilator and it stops pumping, you'd be like, oh, maybe I should plug that in. Well, the ventilator had a backup battery. So the room was cooling down nicely. Everybody was happy. And then very slowly, the ventilator stopped. An alarm went off. The doctor rushed in, couldn't save the patient. And when the patient died, he was assaulted by these people. So, a real amazing scene here.
Usually when those carts are on battery, they're wailing like a banshee. Oh, wait, I can't say that anymore, can I? Is that insensitive?
That is sensitive to Irish
legend, right? Wow.
Wailing of the banshee.
Were Irish.
Is it Irish?
I'm appropriating things that are not mine. Or maybe they are, because I think that's where some of my ancestors came from.
No. You're too far separated. You can't claim that. And speaking of the insanity of the movement that's going on, I don't know what you call it, Marxism, a lot of statues are being pulled down. I don't have a lot of investment in these statues. I mean, yeah, I think it's good because, like, not because these people were slave owners or racist or whatever. What do we know about them? Everybody kind of was back in those days. Not that it makes it okay. But I love it because... why would we ever put politicians or leaders in such a hallowed space?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not just put them in a museum like that?
No, how not just treat them like the scum that they are? They're dirt that should be beneath our feet, not put on any kind of pedestal.
We should learn from their horrible mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think this one's great. This is not going to happen, but man, I wish it would.
Petition is underway to rename Columbus, Ohio to Flavortown as the city removes Christopher Columbus statue.
I hope that happens. I know it won't, but I hope so.
It'd be so fantastic.
Flavortown.
Because Columbus, obviously, you know, maybe not great for the indigenous populations. Had some flaws.
What if we name it Columbo instead after the really amazing detective?
Well, see, but was he from there? I don't think so.
Doesn't matter.
Guy Fieri is from
Columbus.
Then do we put up a statue of him?
Yes.
Only if we can get the blonde tips just right.
As a tribute to the Flavortown. Now, you see, we start a legend that rubbing the tips of his hair is good luck, and then people will naturally polish them. So it'll be like, you know, the shoe or the foot or the... you know, for good luck that you rub. And then
I think for good luck, you come and you pour ranch dressing onto the shoes.
The statue's always surrounded by vermin. And just pigeons. Yeah, it's just a horrible, horrible smell.
Dude. It
smells of pigeon poop and rancid ranch dressing.
Fantastic. They'd have to have a crew dedicated to just de-ranching that statue every day. Oh, man. Please make that happen. God, that would be so good. Ah, what a downer story to come after that one.
This one is
terrible. But this just points out the... I think this was... I don't know. Was this maliciousness or stupidity?
It was... if you read the story, it's actually kind of sad. So I guess wherever this lady is, they don't have like free clinics for the thing that she was trying to do. And she was getting constant complaints from her neighbors, so she tried to do it at home which is stupid, but I don't think it was malicious.
But the poor dog.
Yeah, oh, I feel
the way
really
this
bad
thing
for the
plays
dog.
Out. Yeah.
A woman arrested for animal cruelty after trying to neuter her dog at home with dental floss. That is really is horrifying.
So the worst part about this. I'm sorry, Krista, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think. I don't remember. I remember this vaguely from Dirty Jobs, but like, don't you neuter like cattle and stuff using.
I think that. Sort of method? Well, I think that just cuts off the circulation to it to numb it.
Oh, okay.
But you finish it with a knife. Yeah. Mm. So she didn't do it that way, but because of the pain that it caused the dog did the job itself by chewing off the offending testicles. And that caused a pretty terrible bleed, which led to her trying to get help and then figuring out what happened there. Yeah.
Is this in the UK?
No, it's K-News.
But it says it was reported in the Daily Mail.
Oh, maybe it was. Let's click on national and see
now
what
it
that
says
tells
it,
us.
Now it says Indiana woman when I looked at it.
I thought that was local.
How do they not have free... So, like, here, even though we're, like, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, there are a lot of free spay and neuter clinics.
To avoid exactly the situation.
Yeah.
Maybe she just didn't know. I gotta think if, I mean, imagine if she went on Facebook and was like, I gotta get this dog neutered. Somebody would step up, right?
I would think so.
A lot of the local rescues do it for reduced rate or, again, for free if they can't pay for it. Mm. Ugh, that's awful, though.
Well, Krista, you know, you're dreaming of your secluded mountain home out in the middle of nowhere. And it turns out that people are living that nightmare already. And this
most of my family's living that nightmare.
This is in some of the less developed parts of Canada. And sure, it's a dream to live there and be all by yourself and have that wonderful, you know, secluded lifestyle, a lot of land. But boy, you pay the price. And when the pandemic comes down, the price is magnified.
The internet is so bad at this community. Some people have to drive to Zoom meetings. It's a funny headline, but yeah. No one cares.
Some people being like my friends, my family.
Look, it's Batman. So, they point out that like the family would have to choose. It's like, okay, if I'm going to have a Zoom meeting, you have to stop browsing the web.
Yeah.
Because I have to have every drop. And also, he would drive to a nearby Tim Hortons who had a better internet connection to have his Zoom meetings.
Man,
so McDonald's is pretty common too.
Yeah, restaurant Wi-Fi being better than that's just horrifying.
This is somewhere, I guess, in Nova Scotia.
Well, this happens. Obviously, it happens here. But I have a friend who lives in Michigan, and she's been having to do this because their internet is not good enough to do the kind of work she needs to do. Hmm. It's all over the place.
You got to think about it. It's a major consideration when buying a home. I wonder if these are people who, you know, like fell for the whole. Whatever Canada's version of a Jeep High is, where it's like, oh no, they're going to expand here.
No, that is going to be fine. Yeah. That's probably, yeah.
We talked about Starlink while you were gone. Are you going to try to get the beta?
No.
I'm thinking about signing up for it.
I want to try it, yeah, yeah.
I mean, why not just have an extra internet connection, right?
Yeah.
Be nice. This one, these are sensitive stories, but we're entering into a time where what isn't sensitive, right?
Hello?
Oh. Are you still there?
Sounded like you went out.
Oh, we're talking about bad internet, and they're listening in.
they're punishing us.
Drop his packets.
Yeah.
So the question is, in light of everything that has happened in 2020, do we give special treatment? Is that not in itself a form of discrimination? Tough questions. I'm not going to try to answer them, but I'll tell you what UCLA did.
UCLA professor suspended after refusing leniency to black students on final exams. I didn't read this story. I missed it somehow.
So, this is just a waterfall of horrible people. Now, the first step here is that local news anchor. Did you see how she was just like shaking her head in disgust? The first thing that happened was an ally who happened to be white emailed this professor and was like, I believe that you need to give... either let these people take the final at a different time or give them some kind of like no penalty grade, or like the grade can't hurt your final score if they're black and they've been, you know, because they have to go to protests. And his response was, these are online classes. I don't see any of you. How do I know who the black children are, or the black people at this college? And beyond that, I'm sure there are some who are mixed race. How do we determine who falls on that list and who doesn't? And ultimately, no, we're not doing that, because the university had said, do everything as normal. So based on that result, that email, which was then sent to the authorities, he is now suspended for 3 months.
Wow. Huh.
No word on whether or not they will get those concessions. Guess we'll see. I'm sure we'll get a follow-up on that. Now, what we do have a lot of is changes in law enforcement policy, especially to do with, you know.
Do we, though?
Yes, I do. We have a lot, really. Like, it seems like they're just kind of, like, changing names of things and being like, oh, it'll be okay.
Okay.
I'll wear an enough. African scarf.
Changes may be a strong word, but things are happening. They're doing things. Maybe they're not really changing anything, but they're doing stuff. And one of the things about that is, like, and which I disagree with completely, is protected classes. Like, some people are more protected than other people somehow in this world. And Georgia did a really sneaky little thing when they were drafting theirs. Because when they made the list, there was one thing that was not like the others.
Georgia senators say that hate crimes law should protect police. Wait, isn't the, like,
who's been guilty?
But what would that make the rappers that rap about the police guilty of hate crimes?
You would think.
You're not going to be able to listen to your gangster rap anymore. That's going to be
after
terrible.
Watching weeks and weeks of police violence. You know, that's the one thing that I've really taken away, is we need more protections for police in this country.
Listen, I thought you were going to say from police.
Most of the rappers I listen to are dead anyway.
Oh, okay.
Although Dr. Dre, boy, they could take all of his Apple money. That'd be tough.
I like how he was the only one on Apple, like, and had everybody's full name and their pedigree, and on the Apple staff page, it was literally Dr. Dre.
Most of them probably do have doctorates.
Yeah.
But they didn't say doc.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so this faced a lot of backlash, as you can imagine. I don't think they'll get away with it. This one, a bizarre story, and I got us. Did you read this one? Because I really didn't quite understand it.
No,
like
I completely missed this whole section. Yeah, I don't know. Pandemic may be contributing to increase in male genital injuries. UBC researchers say didn't even register this headline in
now,
the list.
At first, I thought this might have been like, you know, let's say that you're overusing the internet. Because you're bored. But it didn't seem like that was the case.
No.
So then I thought maybe it was like, okay, you're at home with your significant other.
No.
And again, nothing to do. But that also, I couldn't figure out like what was. And in the case, I think there was like 6 cases versus 3 last year.
Mm.
So yeah, 100% increase. But is that really?
It's still rounding error.
This was kind of a non-story, but it had a fun headline and I fell for it.
One of them was the dog bite as well, which it seems like that would be. We should have put that with the dog bite story.
And if that was the same dog, you could forgive him.
It seems like, you know those stories that they come out every now and then when there's no news, where it's like they overlay Google searches for nonstick frying pans and the rise of the Third Reich, and it's like it tracks perfectly, and it's like, what is this?
Ice cream and murder. But it's turned out it's just hot weather. Makes people want to do both those things. Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, this one I thought was fantastic, although I do have to question, and Krista, you're the artist here, so I'm going to defer to you after we do the headline, of whether or not the depicted blade here is actually a machete. It looks like it has some, like a little bit of a cross guard, maybe a little bit of a curve to the blade. I don't know if that counts as a machete.
Oh, am I reading the headline? Sorry, I was trying to get a better picture. Look at the picture. Man with machete tattoo on face accused of machete attack.
All right, so let's look at it.
This looks more like a pirate sword.
I think like a cutlass, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a machete.
It's a Damascus steel machete. You can tell by the way that the the edge is folded.
It's probably from Walmart. You can buy a machete at Walmart for like $12 in the camping section. It's like, wow, I love this country.
Yeah, well, I mean, machetes have uses, you know, especially out in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't, again, I'll say I don't think this was done in a legitimate tattoo parlor.
You saying it was done in prison?
Could have been in a cell.
Hmm.
So this man was having an argument with another guy who was at his house for some reason, and he didn't want him to be there. So he slapped him with the flat of the blade a couple of times and then took a full throttle hack at his head. The guy blocked it with his left arm, but now he does not have the use of his left hand.
Ugh.
And when this guy goes to court, going to be a problem.
It's going
to
be a little bit of a problem, yeah.
Now, do you think his attorney will try and use the cutlass excuse?
He's going to hire the OJ lawyers? Are they still practicing?
He's dead. That's Kardashian. He's dead. His spawn is still haunting the earth.
And their spawn after them forever.
And finally, Krista, another one for you, because this has to do with art.
This is objet d'art, damn it.
Art and woodworking. And when does art stop being art and start being obscenity? That's a line that has been debated for centuries. But in this case, he lost.
Wilton man arrested for spawning wooden penis statue in the front yard. I'm trying to find a better... Hang on, I'm trying
they
to...
They censor it.
Yeah, it's literally... It's literally just a stick and two logs. Like, there's not even...
It's not figure. Like...
Yeah, it's a little...
hyper-realistic.
But they blur it.
We should send... We should send him a... like, a mosaic or something. Like, one of the 15th century, like, nude mosaics. And it's like, that's art.
Well, no, he points out...
Only women's nudity is okay.
No, he points out the baby peeing...
Yeah, fountains. Yeah,
and the mermaids, the topless mermaid fountains and stuff like that. Says it's no different. Now he was having an argument with some of the. So he has a wood shop, and they wouldn't let him. Like, they wouldn't zone his wood shop or something. Wouldn't let him finish building it. So he carved up the old wooden penis, put it out in the yard, and they told him he had to put it in the backyard. He did for a little while. Brought it back. And that's when they arrested him.
Well, he's headed for the Supreme Court, I'm sure.
Do you think that they will take their time? I wouldn't want this in front of the Supreme Court because they're too old and stuffy to understand the nuances of wooden penises.
But it could be a victory for free speech advocates everywhere.
You know what? Everybody should carve up a quick wooden penis and pop it in their yard in solidarity.
Or burn down a Wendy's.
That's the solution. You know what? Here's what we do. We fashion smaller wooden penises, set them alight, and cast them into a Wendy's for justice.
Oh, is there a stinky dog over there?
Let's see that dog.
New dog. Let's see if she'll come up. Ruru, come here. Oh. Come here. Okay. Look at that good dog, chat. And she wants to go out on the patio. No. No, you're not going out there right now.
Why not?
Oh. She had to yawn.
It's not tired. Time.
I'm sitting here doing this. I can't open the door for her.
All right, we're actually done with this. That was it. That was the last story.
All right, well... It's been another weird week in quarantine, chat. Looking forward to the July 2020 event.
Got any predictions?
DLC. Based on some of these stories, maybe aliens.
I'm hoping for giant meteor 2020.
Where do you want it to hit? You want it to hit like right on top of us? Or do you want to experience the slow
looting
destruction
and the raiding?
Probably somewhere in the ocean, because maybe all of the steam and tsunami and stuff will... buy us another 50 years or so with the climate.
Well, not us. I mean, there might be some remnants that claw back out after that, but we're gone.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you next week.
Krista, give us a wooden penis of freedom goodbye.
Goodbye!